fashion conscious.
All the kids are doing that.
All the kids are doing that. Robert's just styling.
Teach us what we learned then from the last time. We've opened the five seals so far, right? The sixth seal is the beginning of the final judgment. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Again, huh?
Verse 12.
Again, remember, everything in Revelation and everything that the Holy Spirit is saying to us is come and see, look. Everything the Antichrist says to us is do, accomplish, do something. So the beheld is in the past tense. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Again, that word earthquake is simply the word seismos. And it can mean an earthquake, but it can also mean shaking. If I got up and I grabbed Harry by the shoulders and shook the crap out of him, that would be a seismos. It would be a great seismos. And lo, there was a great shaking, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, this seismos are shaking. It's translated shaken or tempest or trembling in different places in the Bible. The same thing happened when the Lord came down on Mount Sinai. There was a great shaking. The same thing happened with Elijah when he complained that the prophets of God were destroyed and altars were cast down. The same thing happened when Jesus was crucified and the whole earth quaked. The same thing happened when Silas and Paul prayed in prison and the prison bars were released. The sun became black at Jesus' crucifixion. The sun became black at the Exodus. The sun became black at Mount Sinai. Well, I don't want to go into all that, but we'll study that later. The response of men is what's amazing to me. The astonishing thing is that there is no repentance, even though they are terrified. They say the correct things. God is on his throne. These things come from the wrath of the Lamb of God. They say sin is a reality and God has come down to judge our our naked and depraved souls. They know the great day of the wrath of the Lamb has come. Why not repent? Why not say, Father, forgive me? The English poet William Cowper wrote, Hear the just law, the judgment of the skies. He that hates the truth must be a dupe of lies. And he who will be cheated to the last, delusion strong as hell, must bind him fast. Now, I've seen it in here 1,000 times over the years, not necessarily in this room, but in Trinity. Everything has gone wrong. They know everything is, they know the sin, they know the wrath of God, they know the righteousness of his judgment, they know their own evilness, and yet they won't repent. Why? It's been an unbelievable mystery to me.
Because you're deceived, because you believe that you're a victim and it's unjust.
In the midst of this mystery, in the midst of the wrath of God, in the midst of even when we've seen it, time compressed in individuals, they pray for anything else to happen except repentance. Anybody besides Harry explain it?
Often we cannot.
The only thing that man is capable of doing, let me say it this way. Repentance is impossible without the cross, because repentance necessitates your acceptance of death. But our world and our thought processes and our minds have continually believed that repentance means I'm sorry. But repentance means to leave yourself totally and completely behind. Repentance means to turn away, to abandon yourself, to let yourself be gone. And you can't do that as long as you have the I motive in your life. You will, even in the midst of the judgment day of God, you will pray that the mountains fall upon you, or that you will be able to hide in a cave until the wrath is passed, because you're the subject of your sentence. Everybody understand that?
Suicide.
Sure, it's the ultimate.
Having the mountains fall on you, saying I'd rather die.
No, we would think they would run to a church or prayer meeting. We would think they'd do anything. But they pray for the stupid rocks to fall on them. They are more confirmed from God's standpoint in their rebellion and negation of God. And this is repeated in chapter 11 and chapter 19. But what is the reason? The judgment, now this is the key. This is what you must understand and what we must understand in dealing with people. Judgment or threat of it does not save men. If it did, the jails would be useful, and death penalty would deter crime. It's only the grace and mercy of God that can change a human heart. It's only mercy that provides enough heat to melt the stones of your heart. That's why we must always err on the side of mercy when we're dealing with each other. Does everybody comprehend that? Why is there repeated behavior that is untoward here? That the people that are doing it don't want to do it, but they continue to do it. Why? It's because they can't forgive themselves. It's because literally they hate themselves. The only thing that can melt that is mercy. That must be, you know, our again, because everything about that delusion is based on cause and effect, right? Reward, punishment, cause and effect. And that goes even until the final thing of your